For tonight's shiur, we're just finishing off a very short paragraph of the last Torah L'Hilchot Imran that we were up to, and then we're going to begin a whole new chapter. In this last paragraph, Rabbeinu Zal simply summarizes some of the items that we spoke about over the last few weeks. In our L'Hilchot Imran, it's page 31, the left-hand column, all the way on the bottom of the page, the beginning of the paragraph. Rav Nosson Zal writes, Oid re'ei ze motzosi miksav yad Rabbeinu Zal bi'atzmoi. I found this short paragraph in Rabbeinu Zal's own handwriting. Me'inyan ha-Torah hanal, related to this chapter in L'Hilchot Imran that we just discussed, related to a shiur that Rabbeinu Zal had given, Rav Nosson Zal found this small page of notes, and he decided to copy that down also for us to see the exact wording that Rabbeinu Zal had in his notes related to this item. Ve'eila ha-mishpotim asher tosim lefneihem, as we said earlier, it was based on that pasuk in the Chumash. Geus, arrogance. Muda asois b'chol horetz, it's well known throughout the world. Shehimido meguna, that this is a very disgusting item. V'tzorech levroyach mimeno, and that a person has to run away from it. A person has to try to do everything they can to avoid gaiva. Aval yesh b'nei yotom sheroit v'nachar kovoid. However, there are people who chase after kovoid. They desire honor, respect, and they seek it out. V'roitzim limloich ulahaniges oilam. And these people want to rule. They enjoy exerting authority over people. Va'omrim, and they say, Sheyesh lekel yodom lasos pidyonos. These people go ahead and tell other people that it's within their power to make pidyonos. In other words, to do different tikkunim, to have people forgiven for sins that they've done. Ulehispalel tfilos, and to daven on their behalf. The Aleim Nemar, and about these people it said, Hoshev Eshe Soish, Ki Novihu, V'Yispalel Badcho, V'Chiei. There's a pasuk in the Chumash where Hashem says to Avimelech, the king, when Avimelech had taken the wife of Avraham Avinu captive, Hashem said to Avimelech, return the wife of Avraham to him, because he is a Novi, because he's a prophet, V'yispalel badcho, and he'll daven on your behalf. Ki ze yodua shehakodesh baruch hu, because it's well known that Hashem, and then Rav Nosson Zal adds in parentheses, choser. It seems that on the page of Rabbeinu Zal's notes, the next line was missing. However, Rav Nosson Zal fits in what seems to be the most apparent statement, that it's known that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mesave L'Tfilosen Shel Tzadikim. The Gemara tells us that Hashem desires the Tfilos of Tzadikim. And it's for this reason many times that Hashem will hold back something from a Tzadik, even though Hashem wants the Tzadik to have this item very much, for example, children, parnosa, health. Many times Hashem will hold back the item from the Tzadik to force the Tzadik to give forth many tefillos, because Hashem enjoys the tefillos of tzaddikim immensely. V'tzorech leilech etzlom shiyispalelu aleihem, and people are required to go to tzaddikim so that the tzaddikim should daven on their behalf. Aval balei gaiva, but people who are arrogant, ein hoilchem el tzaddikim, they don't go to tzaddikim levaksham shiyispalelu aleihem, to request from the tzaddikim that they should daven for them. V'gam ein manichin shar b'nei yodom sheyelchu etzal tzaddikim sheyispalu aleihem. And they won't even allow other people to go to tzaddikim for tefillos. Meaning these people try to turn off people from going to tzaddikim. Ki omru elu bali gaiva, because these bali gaiva say, shegam heim tzaddikim, we're also capable of davening. We're also righteous people, v'yecholim l'spalel, and we can also daven. V'ein tzaddik bo'oretz yoyser mehem, and they present an image as if there's no tzaddik in the world greater than them. U'bozeh heim nekroim b'shem Avimelech, and as a result of this attitude, Rabbeinu Zal gives these people a nickname, Avimelech, just as the king of Mitzrayim, who represented a Russia, an evil king, he was called Avimelech. Rabbeinu Zal explained earlier that the word Avimelech is actually made up of two words. Avi, Loshen Rotzoin. The word La'avot, Aleph, Veiz, Hey, in Hebrew, means to desire, to want. Kemoi V'loyovo Hashem Alekecho, Hashem did not desire, Hashem did not want you. And Melech means kingdom. That there are people who don't deserve kingdom, they don't deserve to be respected, but yet they want it very much. And they go after it, and they try to turn people away from going to those that really deserve this kingdom, this authority, meaning the true tzaddikim, whom people really should be going to for tefillos, for brachos, etc. I said earlier that Hashem many times holds back certain things from tzaddikim in order to force them to daven more. Does this mean that Hashem enjoys watching the pain of the tzaddik while he's waiting for this item? And the answer is that, for starters, a true tzaddik is one who knows how to wait the right way. Knows there are people who, while they're waiting for something, they have very bad feelings and they say very nasty things, chas v'shalom, about Hashem or other kinds of bad reactions. A tzaddik is one who knows how to wait very well. And during his waiting, he doesn't do anything wrong. And during his waiting, he doesn't even feel a bad or wrong type of pain. And any pain that he does experience is usually to his benefit. It's usually for the benefit of the tzaddik, in whatever ways, either for kaporas avonos or to help him to do other things. In many cases, it is a major accomplishment. The question is, what's the connection between the first part of the paragraph where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about gaiva and the second part where he speaks about people who turn others away from going to tzaddikim? The answer is, it's the same person. Rabbeinu Zal says usually those kind of people who are looking to turn people away from seeking out the true tzaddikim, usually if you'll study those people closely, you'll see that they're balei gaiva. And their real motivation is they feel that the respect that's going to be given, that you're going to be giving away to that tzaddik, they would much rather prefer that you give them that respect. Sometimes they hide it very well. Sometimes it doesn't look like that at all. He tries to talk to you about that you don't need a tzaddik, you can daven for yourself, etc. But really his motive is that he's telling you what to do. And as such, he's hoping that if you listen to what he tells you, automatically he's going to have a certain respect by you, and that's going to give him a certain malchus. Doesn't
it,
that's one example of people that turn people away from tzaddikim are people who set themselves up as if they were tzaddikim. That's one example. Another example is people who themselves don't necessarily in any obvious way present themselves as tzaddikim, but hiddenly they're coveting kovoy. They're looking for respect for themselves. With this we conclude. With this we conclude this chapter on Likutei Moran, and we'll start the next chapter, Torah Yud Aleph. This next chapter is not as difficult as the one we had previously, although it's definitely not easy. And it's going to take probably at least 3 shiurim to cover it, which means what we're going to learn tonight will be a third of what's necessary to piece together this whole puzzle. However, in this third, there'll be a lot of interesting information that's given over. So hopefully, if you'll try your best to understand and to listen, you'll benefit a lot from it. Rabbeinu Zal bases this next chapter, Torah Yud Aleph, on a pasuk in Yeshaya, where Hashem says, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hu Shemi, that is my name, Uchevoidi La'acher Loi Etein, and my glory I will not share with any other. Usehilosi lapsilim. And my praises, again, another aspect of Hashem's glory, Hashem's kavod, will not be shared with psilim, with idols. Now Rabbeinu Zal begins, Ki yesh yichuda ilo v'yichuda tato. There is what's known in Sforim as an upper yichud and a lower yichud. Yichud means joining together of two items. There are many examples of what this is referring to, this yichud ilo, yichud tato. One example of it relates to Hashem's name itself. The Sforim explain that Hashem's basic name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is symbolic of a total family. A total family, the total basic unit of a family, is represented by a father, a mother, a son, and a daughter. And these two represent, in a sense, two yichudim. The father and mother represent one unit, an upper unit. The son and daughter represent another team, another set, and they represent a lower unit. A second example of these two yichudim that's given is that this relates to the two sentences, the two first sentences of the Shema Yisrael. Hainu Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod, that's called the Yichuda Ilo, where we speak about the oneness of Hashem, the uniqueness of Hashem. U'boruch Shem Kevoid Malchus Le'olam Vo'ed is called the Yichuda Tato, a lower level Yichud, which refers to a lower level of holiness. V'chol Echod Mi'Yisroel Tzorech She'yehiye Na'ase Zois Al Yodoy. Each and every single Jew has to see to it that these Yichudim should be affected through him, that the levels of Kiddusha, the levels of holiness that are represented by these items should shine through his deeds, through that person's actions. Al yidei ze yochoy lovoy litvunois ha-toyro l'umko. And if a person is zeiche to do that, if a person is zeiche that he causes the yichud eilo and the yichud tato, that person will be zeiche to understand the true depth of Torah. Tvunas ha-toyro l'umko. Rabbeinu Zal explains, Kimi shehu b'madrega p'chuso, because a person who finds themselves on a low level, hu adayin rochoik mitvunas ha-Torah, that person is still far from getting to a deep understanding of Torah. Rak al yedei emtzos hadibur, it's only through the means of speech, yochoy lovoy l'tvunas ha-Torah l'umko, that the person could be zeiche to get to understand the depth of Torah. Hainu, this means, al yedei shehu medaber b'ha-Torah b'diburim, through a person being particular to speak words of Torah, to say the words of Torah with his mouth, not just to read them with his eyes, and not even to whisper them quietly, but to pronounce them clearly, to say the divrei Torah loud and clear, Kemoy Shekosuv, as the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Ki Chaim Heim Lamoitzoehem, that the Torah gives life to those that find her, and the Gemara Darshins in Erevin, Lamoitzoehem means to those that find her, Lamoitzoehem also means to one who gives it forth. To one who gives forth the Torah, the Gemara says, Lamoitzoehem Bepeh, one who gives forth Divrei Torah with his mouth, he's particular to speak the words of Torah, Meir loy hadibur b'chol hamakoymois shetzorech la'aseis tshuva. That turns the words of Torah that are coming out of his mouth into a flashlight. It serves as a beam of light that shines a path for this person, showing the person exactly what kind of tshuva they need to do and where and how and everything about it. K'moy shomer azal, as the Gemara says in Brochus, the Gemara says that one of the rabbis, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, once heard one of his Talmidim mumbling Divrei Torah. He was saying the words, but very unclearly. And the Gemara says that the reason why this student was saying it this way was because there was a certain impure item that had happened to the student. And as a result, he was afraid that by him saying the words of Torah, by pronouncing them clearly, he would be defiling, he would be metame the words of Torah. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seres said to him, Chas v'shalom. Rabbi Yehuda ben Seres said to him, the Pasuk says, Psach picho v'yo'iru dvorecho. Open your mouth and let your words shine forth. The Gemara says, he said to him, you should know that Divrei Torah are compared to Eish. There's a Pasuk that says, Haloi koi dvorai ko Eish num Hashem. Just like Eish is an item that's not mekabel tuma, fire is not susceptible to impurity, so too Divrei Torah are not susceptible to impurity. They can't become tameh. So if you are impure and you're going to say the Divrei Torah clearly, it's not the Divrei Torah that are going to become impure, but rather the Torah is going to purify you. It's going to shine a light on a path to show you exactly what's involved in your tshuva. Ubechol pam upam, al yidei kol tshuva utshuva, who hoilech mi madrega la madrega. And every single time, through every single part of tshuva that a person does, the person climbs from one level to the next, ad sheyoytze mi madrega p'chusa, until the person leaves a low level, ubo litvunois ha-toira l'umko. And the person gets to the level that's called understanding the true depth of Torah. We've mentioned this before, but it pays to repeat it, that the style that Rabbeinu Zal uses in his shiurim is that in the first paragraph, he presents the entire theme of what he wants to say. And all the paragraphs that come afterwards are basically either pieces of that first paragraph elaborated on, and or showing you the connections between each and every single individual item that's presented in the first paragraph. Here Rabbeinu Zal talks about two yichudim. He talks about a Jew being able to make those yichudim happen. He talks about a Jew reaching a madrega called Tvunois HaTorah LeUmko, which represents a certain peak of success in Yiddishkeit. He discusses a person starting from the bottom, way down in a madrega p'chusa. And he says that one of the things that helps a person go from the bottom to the top is the Emtzos HaDibur, the power of speech. This koyach that Hashem has given to a human being, specifically to people, to speak, Rabbeinu Zal says that koyach hadibur has the power to shine a light for a person, to show them how to go from the bottom to the top. And that's what purifies the person. It's the diburim, speaking, diburim of Torah. That's what purifies the person and elevates them gradually from step to step. Obviously, Rabbeinu Zal is implying here that this doesn't happen overnight. It's a procedure that takes time and many different steps through which a person climbs from Madrega Pchusa to Tvunas HaTorah LeUmko, which represents a peak. One of the Meforshim on the Likutei Moran, the Mei HaNachal in the back, relates this shir specifically. This shir was given on Shavuos, and he relates this shir to the whole topic of Yitzias Mitzrayim. How when the Jews were in Mitzrayim, that's a classic example of them being in a madrega p'chusa, and the purpose of going out of Mitzrayim was to be zeichet to tvunas ha-toira l'ubka. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu when he was sending him down to take the Jews out of Egypt, that ta'avdun elokim al-hohor hazeh, that when the Jews come out of Egypt, the purpose of their leaving Egypt will be to serve Hashem on this mountain. It doesn't say ta'avdu, it says ta'avdun. That nun at the end of the word is extra, and the Meforshim explains that means ta'avdu nun. They will serve Hashem on the 50th level of bina, wisdom, tvuna. This represents them reaching a certain great height in tvuna satara l'umka, which they reached on Shavuos. They went through 49 days of purification after they left Mitzrayim, and they went through all kinds of tests and obstacles. And there's a certain koyach hadibur, a certain emtzos hadibur, which is what shone a path for them to climb from the madrega p'chusa to the level of tfuna satara l'umka. We'll see soon what this relates to. We mentioned once in the past that the Korban Omer that was brought during these 49 days, it's called the Omer HaTnufa. The Omer, which was lifted up, the word Tnufa means to lift up. The Zohar HaKadosh also says that the word Tnufa is made up of two words, Tnu Peh, give forth with your mouth, symbolizing this concept of a tikkun for the koyach hadibur, specifically through which a person goes from madrega pchusa to this high level of tfuna satera lumko. And that's also the reason why the omer was brought from sa'orim, which is barley, which is a food that's eaten by animals, whereas the korban that was brought on shavuos, the shtei halechem, was brought from chita, wheat, which represents human food. One of the major differences between humans and animals in Hebrew, in the Torah, they're both called living beings. Animals are called chai, and human beings are called chai. The distinction is that a human being is called medaber. The ikar koyach hadibur is what distinguishes man from animal. So that in this procedure, in going from the beginning of the Omer to the end of the Omer, we show that we're going out of the madrega of behema, which represents heidar hadibur, a lack of speech, or a lack of clear speech, and rising to the level of Odom on Shavuos, which represents Shleimus Hadibur, this concept of Tvuna Satoir Lomko. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Rabbeinu Zal is going to quote a Gemara, and he's going to relate it to what we're talking about now. The Gemara says in Menachos, Sheshoalu Yoichni Umamrei LaMoshe. The Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down to Egypt with his shopping bag of tricks, of magic, and he started showing off the magic that Hashem had told him to present the Egyptians with, so the Gemara says that there were two of Paroi's chartumim, two of Paroi's magicians, whose name were Yochani and Mamre, and they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Tevin atomachnis laforayim, you bring straw to a marketplace of grains, meaning you're bringing magic to Mitzrayim. This is the center of magic for the whole world. Now, as if you want to show off something special, if you thought you were bringing something different to this place, this is where it's really at in terms of magic. And they were implying that you're silly, therefore. In other words, you should have brought something special, something unique. Veheshiv lohem, the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, just the opposite, on the contrary. Amri Inchi, people have a saying, Lemoso Yarko, Yarko Shkoil. Where the vegetable market is, that's where you should bring your vegetables to sell. If you have vegetables to sell, what's the best place to sell them? Where the vegetable market is taking place. We see that this is one of the miracles of Hashem in terms of Parnosa. It would seem most illogical that if you had a whole group of stores selling jewelry that were concentrated close by together, it would seem that that would be the most natural cause for all of them to fail. And yet we know that in Eretz Yisrael you have the Bursa Lahavdil. In the United States you have, in New York, 47th Street, where you have one street that has maybe a few hundred stores selling the same item, and all of them doing well. That's the nature, that's the miracle that Hashem performs, in that even though they're all side by side, Hashem sees to it that each person should get the sales that he's supposed to get. So here also, Moshe Rabbeinu said that Lemoso Yarko, Yarko Shkoil. If this is a center for magic, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. I've come to meet you on your own turf with your own tools. And still, you're going to see that there's a major difference between your magic and mine, between what comes from Hashem versus what comes from the side of Tumah. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to give a different interpretation of this Gemara. Rabbeinu Zal says, Tevin, the Hebrew word Tevin means straw. The word Tevin also represents Zebechinas Tevuna. Tevin represents Tevuna, deep understanding. Kemoy Shekosuv, as the Pasuk says, Tevuna Tinsereko. Your wisdom, your deep understanding, will preserve you. Sheheim hevinu shem Moshe roitze lahachnis tvunois haTorah biYisrael. These magicians knew that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't coming to Mitzrayim to do a circus act. Moshe Rabbeinu's purpose in coming to Mitzrayim was to provide the Jews, to elevate Bnei Yisrael to a level of Tvunois HaTorah Lumko, to a level of deep understanding. The Alkein Shoalu, and therefore these two magicians asked, Ki bizman she Yisrael oisem ratzon eshel mokoim, ki bizman she ein Yisrael oisem ratzon eshel mokoim, hey meshulim lofor. The Gemara says in Megillah that when the Jews are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, they're compared to dirt. There are two psukim in the Torah, one pasuk, the Jews are compared to the stars, and another pasuk, they're compared to the dust of the earth. The Gemara says, Kan, one place is talking about when they listen to Hashem, the other place is talking about where they go against Hashem. So this is why they use the word aforayim. You're bringing, you're attempting to bring Tevin into aforayim. Rabbi Nezal says, the Jews are compared to Ofer. Ve'eich yuchal lohaviyam lamadrega govoya latvuna satoira. How can you, Moshe Rabbeinu, attempt to take the aforayim, the Jews were on the, when they're on this low level of Ofer, and attempt to bring them to Tevin, to bring them to Tvuna, to bring them to a deep level of understanding of Torah. V'zeh Tevin, loshen Tvunois HaTorah, atomachnis laforayim, zeh bechinas Ofer. They challenged Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, you're trying to bring Tevin to the Ofer? You're trying to bring Tvunois HaTorah Lumka to the Jews when they're on so low a level? Hainu madrega p'chusa? Hey Shivlohem, so Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, don't worry, I have it all figured out. I know exactly what's needed to take a person from a low level and to elevate them to the top. Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, Amri Inchi, people say, Hainu al yedei ho'amirois, through people saying, by people speaking the words of Torah, al yedei hadibur shel isha Yisraeli, through a Jew speaking, that alone will shine a path for them to elevate themselves from this low level that they're on and to crawl out. And this is why Moshe Rabbeinu said, to a place of vegetable market, lemoso yarko, Rabbi Nezal says, "Lemekoymois shetzorech lasois tshuva." Yarko means vegetables, yarokois. Yarko also represents tshuva. Kemoishakosov b'medrash, as the pasuk says in the medrash, when Avram Avinu wanted to go face off with the four kings that had beaten up the five kings and their armies, the Torah says, "Vayorek es chanichoch." Chanichoch. He had a talk. He gave a musar speech to his soldiers, to his servants. And the Gemara says, Oirikon beparshas shoftim. He spoke to them, he told them over divrei musar, in words inspiring them to do tshuva, that are written in parshas shoftim, which the Kohen Gadol used to tell the Jews when they were going out to battle. Hainu shezirzom lasos tshuva. The Gemara says that he inspired them to do tshuva. Avram Avinu inspired his soldiers before going out to war to do tshuva. Ki parsha shoftim nemar al tshuva. Because that discussion in parsha shoftim deals with the subject of tshuva. For example, it says over there, mi hoish hayorei varach halevov. If anybody is lacking in courage in going out to war to serve on behalf of the Jewish people, to serve as a soldier for the Jewish people, then let him stay home. And the Gemara says, Hayorei varach halevov, why would a person be afraid? The answer is, he's afraid of averoi shebiyodoi. When a person is impure, the sins place a fear, a phobia inside the person. A person who's zeicha to be religious, a person who doesn't commit sins, that's a person who's supposed to have real courage in facing the enemy with strength. The Gemara says, "Hayori me'avera shabiyodoi." K'moy shom razal soita daf mem gimel. As the Gemara says, so we see that this discussion, this word "vayorek," that's written about Avram Avinu preparing his soldiers for war, "vayorek" is actually referring. He prepared them with tshuva. So the term "yorek" also represents tshuva. V'zehu amriinshi lemoso yarka. Hainu al yidei ho'amirois v'hadibur shel ish ha'yisraeli, through the amrinchi, through the fact that people, the Jews, will speak, and they will speak forth the divrei Torah or divrei tefillah, words of kedusha, lemoso yarko, that will shine a path for them for tshuva, lemekoymois shetzorech lasos tshuva, yoyer loy hadibur sheyuchoy lasos tshuva. The dibur will shine a path for the person, showing them exactly where and how their tshuva is to be done. Vze yarko shkoil, to the place of vegetables, take your vegetables. Yarko shkoil means take your vegetables. Rabbein Zal says, Yarko shkoil bechinas tshuvas hamishkol. Yarko, we said, represents tshuva. Shkoil means mishkal, balanced, which is one of the terms that's used about tshuva. That when is a person considered to have done real, true tshuva? When his good deeds are in equal balance with his averos. When he's balanced out all the bad things he's done. It's called tshuvas hamishkol, an equal, opposite amount of kedusha to balance out the tuma that he generated. Shehadibur yor eloi shiuchalasas tshuvas hamishkol mamish. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, don't worry, I'm not afraid of the fact that the Jews are on a very low level now, because I know what the secret is of taking them out. The secret is totally in dibur, in peh. If I will be able to get the Jews to speak the diburim of Torah, to speak words of kedusha, that'll shine a path for them, showing them exactly what's needed for their tshuva, to elevate them all the way to the top, which is called Tfunas HaTorah L'Umko. And this is one of the reasons why the holiday that represents Yitzias Mitzrayim is called Pesach. The Arizal says that the word Pesach is actually composed of two words, Pe-Soch. The mouth speaks. The main mitzvah on the night of Pesach is the Haggadah, to talk a lot. Kol hamarbe harei ze meshubach. We know that by Jews, speech is something that's to be limited every way possible. The Gemara gives 60,000 warnings about limiting your speech. How is it that bedafka, when it comes to Yitzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah is to go big, to speak a lot? It's based on what Rabbeinu Zal is saying in this chapter, because that's the secret of a person who's in a Madrega Pchusa and who wants to crawl out of a Madrega Pchusa and to get to a Madrega El Yoin of Tvuna Satara L'Umka. His only salvation is in this Pesach, in speaking a lot of Divrei Torah, Diburim of Torah, because Psach Pecha, Psach Picha, V'yo'iru Dvorecha. This person who's in a Madrega Pchusa, he's in a Choshech, he's in a darkness, the Ervas Oretz of Mitzrayim. He needs to turn on a light. The light is turned on through Dibur. The Diburim of Torah that a person speaks, that shines, that turns on the light that he needs to get to this Madrega of Tvunas HaTorah L'Umko. Now Rabbeinu Zal explains, it's not that simple. It's not every single Dibur that'll do this. The Dibur has to have certain ingredients in it. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ach ledibur, this is paragraph Beis. Ach ledibur sheyoyer loy, in order for a person to be zeichet, to speak, where his words give off this type of light that will shine a path for his tshuva, eif shalisko is kim al yedei kovoid. It's impossible to get to that kind of dibur without respect. Hainu sheyire sheyihye kovoid Hashem yisporach b'shleimus. This means that the person must see to it that the respect for Hashem that's coming from him should be bishleimus, should be 100%. If a person is zeicha to give Hashem 100% kavod, that person will be zeicha to the kind of dibur that's meir. How does a person do that? Sheyihye kivodoy la'ayin neged kvod Hashem yisporach. The person has to bring themselves to a level where my own respect next to respect for Hashem is zero, because there's only so much respect available, there's only so much kavod available. If we were to say that there's 100 measures of kavod, if a person takes two of them as self-respect, then it means that the maximum that's left for Hashem is 98. Whereas if a person is zochet to elevate themselves to a level where they have no desire whatsoever for self-respect, but rather he's looking only to give all the respect, all the honor, all the kavod to Hashem, that's when all the kavod will find its way to Hashem. Hainu al yidei anova vekatnus, by a person achieving true humbleness and considering himself really small, that's when he's zeicha to give all the kavod to Hashem. Ki ikar bechinas hadibur hume kavod. Because Rabbi Nezal says the main concept of dibur comes from kavod. Kemoshe kosuv, as the pasuk says, mi hu ze melech hakavod. Who is the king of honor? Hainu malchus peh. And we know the Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh tell us that the king is the mouth, the tongue. The Medrash tells a story about how one time all the organs of the body got together and they started debating which one is the king, which one rules over all of them. And each one had proof to show that they were the greatest one. And the Medrash says that the tongue said, I'll prove to all of you that I'm the king, I'm the one in charge. And he waited until an officer, the king, was walking by, and the tongue opened up with a tongue lashing and insulted this officer, the king, real well, so that this person, this whole body, was thrown into prison. So the tongue said to all the other organs, see, I showed you who's boss. You see that I can fix all you up. And then they asked the tongue to prove, if you're really king, let's see if he can get us out of this mess. And again, the tongue showed his superiority in being able to determine life or death. And the Gemara uses that as an example to show that the tongue is the melech in certain respects of all the organs of the body. So we see that the peh is malchus, and melech is associated with kovoid, v'yovoi melech hakovoid. So therefore, the malchus is dependent, the peh depends on kovoid. The strength of a person's words depend on the purity of the kavod, whether that person sees to it that all the kavod is going directly to Hashem, where the person is not sharing or taking away from Hashem's kavod. Because when the words of Torah come into a mouth that's pogum, that's defiled, that's bad, loy dai shein dibura Torah meirim loy, not only will the words of Torah not shine a path of tshuva for that person, gam haTorah atzmo nizgashem v'nizchashech shom mipiv, but rather the Torah, which represents light, kiner mitzvah v'Torah oyer, the Torah is called light, the light of the Torah itself will be put out, will be extinguished, and the Torah itself will be turned into darkness and gashmius, it'll be turned into something ugly in that person's mouth. Kemoshe kosuv, as the pasuk says, Hashem, when Yehoshua was taking over the leadership of the Jewish people, Hashem said to him, Lo yomush sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha. Be careful to see to it that the sefer Torah should never leave your mouth, meaning you should always have the Torah with you. That's one translation of that pasuk. Rabbi Nezal gives a second translation. Lo yomush sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha, bechinas v'yomesh choshech. The pasuk says that when Hashem inflicted the plague of darkness on the Egyptians, the darkness was so thick that you could touch it, you could feel it. It's called v'yomesh choshech. It was a dovor mamish, it was tangible. So Rabbi Nezal says, lo yomush sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha, Hashem said to Yeshua, see to it that the sefer Torah should not become mamoshus. It should not become megusham through your mouth. Don't defile it. Don't lower the Torah by it coming forth from a peh pogum. Hainu shelo yizgashmu v'yizchashchu mipicha. The words of the Torah should not become megusham or darkened through your mouth. Because when a person is not careful to see to it that Hashem's honor should be 100%, hainu al yidei gadlus, which means that the person has gadlus, the person has gaiva, he has a personal hang-up with honor, he's looking for self-respect in a big way, That person is not really able to open his mouth in a proper way. As the pasuk says in Tehillim, Sogru pimoi, his mouth was sealed shut, Dibru begeus, because he spoke with arrogance. What do you mean? It's a steer, it's a contradiction. He's speaking and his mouth is shut? Yes. It means that when a person has gaiva, even if he's speaking, his speech is considered to be silence. It's worthless. It's nothing. It's not accomplishing what speech is supposed to accomplish. We learned earlier that when there's real dibur, the dibur is meir a derech of tshuva for the person. When a person has gaiva, his dibur is as if he weren't saying anything. Kemaisa delevi bar sisa. As the Yerushalmi tells a story of one of the rabbis of the Gemara says he was appointed, he was given a leadership position in a city, and they told him that he has to go sit up on a tall podium. And he didn't want to, but they told him, this is the rule in the city, this is what you have to do. So he was sitting up there, and he was feeling uncomfortable. So and any time they asked him a question, the Gemara says he wouldn't answer, because he felt that he couldn't speak sitting on this tall podium. He couldn't really speak to them. Why? Because he felt that this tall podium was giving him a gaiva, whereby his words, if he would answer them, the words wouldn't really be holy. On the contrary, they would be the opposite. They elevated him on a tall platform. V'tofas rucha yolov, and he started feeling a little bit of geus. Veloy anivun, and he couldn't answer them. He found that he couldn't answer their questions because he was on this tall platform. Ki al yidei hageyus hu bechinas avodas zara, because when a person has gaiva, that person represents an idol. Avodas zara is called toeva in the Torah, and gaiva is called toeva. Toyava sashem kol gvar lev. Ubavodas zara ksiv psile elokeihem tisrufun boesh. And about Avodah Zorah, the Torah says, it's a mitzvah to burn it, that Avodah Zorah is supposed to be burned. And therefore, the Gemara says, V'chol ha'oimed lisorev kisorov domi. Anything that's supposed to be burned, it's as if it's burned already. Uchtuse michtas shiure, kemuva b'gemara Rosh Hashanah linyan shefesh l'Avodah Zorah, which means it's considered already as if it was nothing. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah discusses whether you're permitted to blow shofar using a trumpet, using a shofar, a ram's horn, that was used for Avodah Zorah. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to. You know why? Because a shofar has a certain minimal size that it's supposed to be. It's got to be so large. And the Gemara says that it's an item that was used for Avodah Zorah is supposed to be burned. If it's supposed to be burned, it's as if it's burned. If it's burned, it's nothing. It has no size to it. So even though you're looking at it and it appears to be 8 inches tall, it's really nothing. So we see that this gaiva represents something that's burned, something that's nothing. V'kivon shemichtas chotis shiurei, and since this has turned into a shiur, a size of nothing, of zero, ein loy klei dibur ledaber imohim. Automatically, the person found, Levi bar Sisa saw, said he had no klei dibur to speak to the people with. So again, we see that when a person has this problem, and again, we're talking about the shofar, the example that Gemara gave, the shofar is something that's supposed to give forth sound. A shofar of Avodah Zorah, which represents a mouth that's speaking with gaiva, that's michtas kotis shirei. That's like nothing. It represents a zero. It won't be able to accomplish what the dibur is supposed to accomplish, which is to shine this path of tshuva, to take a person from Madrega Pchusa to Tfunas HaTorah Lumko. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Ach kishehu nizhor v'shoimer kvoid Hashem. But when a person is careful and he watches Hashem's honor, sheyihyeh b'shleimus, that Hashem's kavod should be 100%. How? Shehu nivze be'enov nimos. The person considers himself nothing. He's ashamed of himself. In other words, he considers himself so low that he's worth being ashamed of himself, embarrassed of himself, which means the person has no trace of gaiva. We don't mean a person walking around like an idiot, person walking around hugging the floor or dragging his feet on the ground. That's called a false modesty. We're talking about a person who doesn't consider himself, who doesn't, where his self-respect doesn't impinge on Hashem's kavod, where he's not his purpose for performing the mitzvahs of the Torah or his purpose for telling somebody else what to do is not for any personal kavod or any personal pleasure, but rather totally for the kavod of Hashem. Such a person will find that his dibur is meir. His dibur shines a light. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Yecheskel, v'ho'oretz he'iro mikvoidoi. That the land shone from his kavoid, which means once a person brings himself to the madrega of oretz, he lowers himself like the ground, he considers himself low like the ground, that person, he'iro mechvoidoi, when he speaks, his words shine from the kovoid of Hashem that's in them. Ve'he me'irin lo'y le'tshuva, and this person's words will shine a path of tshuva for him, ve'yochoy lo'voy le'tvunas ha'toyra lo'umko kanal, and that person will be zeche to get to tvunas ha'toyra lo'umko, to get to this peak of success in Yiddishkeit, which Rabbeinu Zal here is calling a deep understanding of Torah. Now the question is, how do we get to this kavod? Rabbeinu Zal is talking here about a person perfecting themselves in modesty, where a person isn't out for any personal kavod, but rather they give all the kavod to Hashem, and then a person is zocheh that their dibur is meir, and it can actually elevate them from adrega b'chusa to tefunas ha'Torah lumko. How do you get to such a level of humbleness, of modesty, where you're giving all the kavod to Hashem, and where your dibur shines with this kavod? We know that if you look in the beginning of Parshas Bereishis, where it talks about right after Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, the pasuk says, "Vayedu ki erumim heim," they became aware of their nakedness, of the fact that they were lacking clothing, "Vayis boishoshu," and they were very embarrassed. They were ashamed of themselves. And the Torah tells us that as a result of this pigam of the Eitz Hadas, that's what really forced and necessitated people to have busha, to have this feeling of shame and embarrassment, in particular related to arayos, related to items that pertain with men and women, the whole association between men and women, the whole concept of hilchos tznius, that in all items related to how a man conducts himself in this particular item, or a woman dresses herself or conducts herself related to this item, all of this is known as tznius, and all of this is known as kovoy. This modesty that's associated with this vayis boishoshu, a certain shamefulness, which is the true kavod. The Gemara says, kol kavodo bas melech penima, that the kavod of a Jewish woman is her modesty. Her respect is not where she shows everything. Her respect is by how much she can hide, by how little she shows. That modesty represents the epitome of kavod. Here, Rabbeinu Zal is going to show us now that if a person wants to get to true anivus, it's dependent on this issue of tikkun abris, of a person perfecting this item. The kovoid, paragraph gimel, the kovoid b'shleimus eino kiim al yedei vov. The only way that a person could be zeichet to true kovoid, the key letter in the word kovoid is the letter vov, Rabbeinu Zal tells us here. The person must see to it to draw the letter vov into the word kovoid. Because the word kovoid without the letter vov also has meaning. Kof beis dalid means something in Hebrew. Kibaloi vov nishar kivad peh. In Hebrew, Chof Beis Dalet means a person who has an impaired speech, a person who can't speak clearly. When Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to say about himself, as a result of having touched a burning hot coal to his lips, as a result of that, his speech became stuttered or difficult to hear clearly, he said that I am a Kvad Peh. Kvad is spelled Chof Beis Dalet, and that represents a weakness in Dibur. Vayidei Havov hu bechinas kovoid veloidoim. And when a person draws the Vav into the word kovoid, the Vav is the key letter that represents the Dibur, that shows that kovoid is related to Dibur. As we have a pasuk in Tehillim, Leman yizamercha kovoid veloidoim. When there's kovoid, there's the opposite of silence. Yidoy means to be quiet, right? So kovoid veloyidoim. The vav in the kovoid represents the opposite, true dibur. When the vav is missing, it represents defective speech. Rabbeinu Zal says now, ki kol mokoim shenemar vav hum moisif. The Gemara says in Psochim that wherever we find the letter vav used in the Torah, especially in the beginning of a word, it represents adding something extra. For example, we have a parsha in the Torah that begins with the words V'eile ha-mishpotim asher tosim lefneim, and these are the laws that you should teach to the Jewish people. The Gemara darshens V'eile, and these Vov moisif al rishonim. The Vov is telling us that besides what they heard on Har Sinai, these are additional items that are going to be told. So we see that the letter Vov means additional. It represents something added, extra. Hainu bechinas toisvus kedusha. This means a concept of additional holiness. Hainu shmiras habris. This represents purity in all items related to the bris kodesh, the holy covenant. Kimaimar chazal, as the Gemara says, kol mokoim sh'atomoitze geder ervo, atomoitze kedusha. Wherever you find extra fences to protect the morality of people, there you will find extra holiness, additional holiness. The more a person is careful to be with morals, specifically related to this item of Tikkun HaBris, the more that person is zoche to a Tosfes Kedusha, to extra holiness, above average holiness. Ki ze toloi bo ze, because Kedusha, holiness, is dependent on Geder Erva. It's dependent on a person seeing to it to guard the erva, to keep the erva covered and sacred and tsanua, modest. Rabbeinu Zal says, ki ze toli bo ze, because these two items are dependent on each other. Geus v'niuf, arrogance, haughtiness, and niuf, adultery. These two items go together. Kemoi Shomer Chazal, as the Gemara says in Soto, al posuk ve'eshes ish nefesh yikoro totsud. There's a posuk which says that a married woman, this is talking about an illicit woman, nefesh yikoro, a precious soul, he totsud, she will ensnare, she will trap. Meaning, an immodest woman, who's her best bait, who's her best game? A man who has haughtiness, who feels he's got something to prove, that kind of thing, such a person is most susceptible to falling victim to illicit women, to these types of crimes. V'alkein bris mechuna b'shem shakai. Rabbeinu Zal says this is why we find that the bris kodesh, this mitzvah in particular, or items that relate to this, are related to Hashem's name, Shin Dalad Yud. Why? Kemoi shekosuv, as we find in the Torah, ani kel shakai, pray urevei. Hashem says, I am the Hashem whose name is Shin Dalad Yud, pray urevei, multiply, reproduce. So we see that the name of Hashem that's associated with this mitzvah is the name Shin Dalad Yud. That's the name that's associated with the bris, with pru urevu. Ukishe'enoi shemer abris. And when a person doesn't keep the bris pure, hainu al yedei geus, by being arrogant, where he makes himself easy game for pigama bris, hu oise li atzmoy avodah zorah, that person turns himself, that person has arrogance, which means he considers himself great. He considers himself an idol. He's sharing with Hashem. He's sharing the kavod with Hashem. That person is showing that Hashem is not enough for the world. The world needs me too. That, in other words, Hashem satisfies a certain amount of glory in the world, and there's me also. That person is showing she'ein dai bo likusa at she'tzorach avodah zara. If we need idols, it implies that Hashem's holiness alone is not enough to provide the world. V'al kein poigim b'shakai, and therefore this person is being poigim in this name of Hashem specifically, shin dalad yud, sheyesh dai b'likusa l'chol beria, because that name of Hashem specifically means She dai, that there is enough of Hashem, that Hashem is enough for the world. That name of Hashem represents the opposite of gaiva, meaning any person that accepts that knows that he's nothing. If Hashem is enough, then I'm not needed for anything, that I'm nothing. Hashem is everything and I'm nothing. That's the name of Hashem that represents the opposite of gaiva, and that's the name of Hashem that's associated with prei roveh, with tikkun habris. When a person is zoicha to keep the bris in purity, that person will be zoicha to be saved from gaiva. This item of tikkun habris is what teaches a person how to be zoicha to true humbleness. That humbleness allows the person that his words should have the kavod that's needed, that the words, the diburim, should be meir, they should shine a path of tshuva for that person to be lifted from madrega pchusa to tvuna satera l'umko. The connection between shmira sabris and idol worship, we said that the name of Hashem that's associated with shmira sabris is shin dalid yud. Ani kel shakai preyu revei. That name of Hashem represents the opposite of idol worship. She dai, that there is enough, that Hashem is enough, implying there's no need for anything else. There's no need for idols. So we see that the same name of Hashem that's associated with tikkun habris is the name of Hashem that represents the opposite of gaiva. No, it's the name of Hashem that teaches us modesty. That name of Hashem proclaims Shedai, that Hashem is enough, therefore Hashem is enough, implying Hashem is 100. Therefore, what am I? I'm 0. If Hashem is 100, Hashem is enough, Hashem is all, then I am nothing. There's where we see a connection between Anova and Tikkun Habris. We're talking about a person who's on a madrega p'chusa. Rabbeinu Zal, in that first paragraph, discussed the concept of taking somebody who's on a low level and bringing them to tvunas hatorah l'umko. When a person's on a low level, to climb is going to necessitate tshuva. There is a concept of a derech darkei tshuva. There are many psukim in the Torah that discuss the path of tshuva. In order to see that path, in order for a person to be shown the path, he needs light. Rabbeinu Zal, that's the whole discussion, the basis of this chapter on Likutei Moran, is showing us how to go from Madrega Pchusa to Tvuna Sater L'umka. There's a procedure of tshuva that's going to take you there. And the tshuva is dependent on Dibur. What kind of Dibur? A real Dibur. A Dibur that has oyer, which means a dibur that has kavod, which means a dibur that's lacking in gaiva, which means dibur coming from a person that has true tikkun habris. That's the summary of what we've learned so far tonight. In this chapter, Rabbeinu Zal is prescribing a program for tshuva. Whether this is the only one or not, I don't know. I'm sure it's one of the best, that's for sure. Whether there's no other alternative or no other tools to use, I don't know. But here Rabbeinu Zal is definitely prescribing a program for going from Madrega Pchusa to the level of Tvuna Satera Lomka. And we're going to tie this all into the whole concept of the Jews in Mitzrayim climbing to the peak of Kedusha at Har Sinai. He couldn't answer their question. He found that he couldn't answer the questions because he was sitting up on that high place. We said that if a person has averos, if a person's tomei, then the diburim of Torah can purify him. Any kind of tumah except gaiva. Rabbeinu is all saying here, step one is, the only way for the dibur to work is if there's no gaiva. Because if the person has gaiva, then the dibur is empty. The dibur is missing the light. The dibur has no cover. It's kvad peh. Sagru pimoi, dibru begeus. When there's dibru begeus, it's sagru pimoi. It's as if he's not talking.